wonderful.
Good morning. We'll call the October 8th, 2013 Sussex County Council meeting to order. First thing is approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President, and good morning. At this time, we have no amendments to the agenda. However, I would recommend flipping Vince Robertson's discussion on height regulations with Mike Izzo's North Millville expansion discussion just for the sake of Mike's time.
Entertained a motion to approve the agenda. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Phillips.
Could I ask for clarification? I believe on the old business, which I suspect a lot of folks are here for, both the Jack Lingo Asset Management and the Massey's Landing are for discussion and review only. I read and heard in some press that there may be a vote, and I wanted to double check that there would not be a vote, just in case some of these folks are taking themselves away from something because they think there's going to be a vote. Will there be a vote today?
No, sir, there will not be.
Mm-mm. Okay.
That's why it was listed on the agenda for discussion and review only. Councilman Cole would ask for an update on some things.
Just trying to find out
what
we know.
No. You'll hear that we'll have update from the attorney, and that'd be it.
Update.
Entertained a motion to approve the agenda.
Yes.
Got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. We had the minutes of October the 1st. Any corrections or concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Rutt?
There is no correspondence.
Any correspondence from council?
Well, I did get a reminder that the League of Women Voters is having a forum today at 1 at the BB Health Campus, and our own Joe Thomas from the head of emergency services will instruct them on safety in the case of storms and how to protect your home and your life. And I think it's very good that they're doing that. Appreciate it.
Sure. Anything else from council? Mr. Lawson.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. First item of business today is a presentation on the county bond requirements and process improvements. As council is aware, county staff has been working on a variety of issues relating to the Sussex County bonding requirements and process. Last week, I provided council with this packet of information on this subject matter. I have copies for your review if you would like. Chapter 99 of the County Code requires a performance bond or other guarantee, such as a letter of credit, for residential development governed by this chapter. The amount of the guarantee must be no less than 125% of the cost of the improvements. The bonding requirements also apply to sediment control and stormwater management, which fall under the jurisdiction of the Sussex Conservation District. Today, county staff will present the details of these efforts. That includes, number one, a progress report on the no-bond program, which was enacted January 2012. Number two, a new proposed bond reduction process, which will require a motion by council for approval. And finally, number three, a change in the county's bond requirements, which will shift Sussex Conservation District bonds over to that agency for their administration. Mr. David Baird, District Coordinator with the Conservation District, is on hand to provide his agency's report on this matter. And at the conclusion of this presentation, no action will be required today, but an ordinance amending the county code will be introduced at a future date. Okay, at this time, I'd like to introduce Assistant County Attorney Vince Robertson, who will begin our presentation.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning. The first topic, as Mr. Lawson talked about, was just a little brief review of sort of where we are now. As council will recall, in January of 2012, we put in a no-bond process so that developers, if they wanted to, could elect to proceed without incurring the cost of posting a bond, with the requirement that at the same time they could not sell lots or units to third parties. If they chose to do that, then they would have to get a bond. And that was looked at based on the financial lending markets that were in existence at the time, and I think still continue to be in existence, the difficulty of getting bonds and letters of credit, and also just the economy and the housing markets. Since that time, there have been several projects that have utilized the no-bond process, and I think overall it's worked fairly well. Like any new project or program, there's been some administrative issues along the way that we've worked through when you implement a new system, but I would say overall it's worked pretty well. And it has been utilized, as I said, by several developers. It does have an automatic sunset in the current ordinance of January 10, 2014. And so there will need to be a new ordinance that is introduced and considered by council to extend that. As Mr. Lawson said, that will be at a later date. I believe that it's county administration's recommendation that there be the introduction of that ordinance to extend the no bond provision for some limited time period so that we can review, you know, both the ongoing situation with the lending markets and the housing situation to see if it's necessary to continue the no bond process, and then, you know, can continually be reviewed to see whether it's necessary. That has led to the next sort of phase of the county's consideration of bonding, and that is something that has been ongoing for quite a long time within the development community and county engineering and planning and zoning. Whenever somebody posts a bond for 125% of the work, that's for all the work that needs to be accomplished in a given development. Typically, developers will get to some point where a substantial amount of the development work has been done, so that portion no longer needs to be bonded. In other words, you don't have to guarantee the completion of stuff that's already done. So they would come in and ask for a bond reduction, which is fine, but the problem is there's not been any uniformity in that. There's been no thresholds for when you could request that, no set of standards, no limitation on the number of times you could request a reduction. And that has been led to uncertainty and unpredictability in the development community. It's also led to administrative burdens for county engineering, having to deal with all different levels of inspections, because they go out and inspect the projects to see what still needs to be done. They have to do the estimations to see the value of the work that remains to be completed, then apply that to a new bond amount and go through the reduction administration. So the first step we did in looking at this was convene a group of stakeholders, and that included folks in the development community, folks in the engineering community, folks in the site work, you know, the contractor community, people from the county and county engineering and county planning and zoning, and folks that work in the banking or lending industry, to kind of talk about the issue and see if there was some common ground that could be reached with regard to how to deal with it. And most, if not all, the participants that were involved in that agreed that, you know, like you hear so often, just make the rules and we'll abide by them, you know, and it was kind of that. We need some uniformity, we need some predictability in how this works. There wasn't any objection with that. And what we did next was consider suggestions from that group. We went out and looked at some other jurisdictions to see how they dealt with the issue. And kind of mulling over all of that information, came up with the proposal that's before you this morning. And so the proposal or the protocol would entitle all developments or phases to a one-time bond reduction to not less than 50% of the value of the original bond. So, you know, if the bond amount was $100,000, you could never, in that case, never go lower than $50,000. At the time you requested, a professional engineer associated with the project or phase must sign and seal a takeoff of the work that remains to be completed. So the developer would have his or her engineer say, okay, this has been completed, this is what remains to be done, and seal that so that the county has a document that it can rely on to determine the work that's left. That work then would be applied by or multiplied against pricing figures published by the Sussex County Engineering Department, which Mr. Izzo is going to talk about in just a minute. And that would determine what your remaining bond is, and the county would release the rest. At no time would any bond be less than $50,000. That threshold was determined based on the fact that if you really start getting into low numbers, there's no incentive for people to complete the work. It's cheaper almost to walk away from the work potentially than it is to deal with a $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 bond sometimes. The other caveat is that there will be no reduction permitted prior to the installation of at least one layer of hot mix on all included roads.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. Do you think it's fair to have a $20,000 job and have to put up a $50,000 bond?
No. They don't have to do a maximum $50,000 bond.
It says so right here. It says that the maximum.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. Yeah.
$50,000.
Regardless. Yeah. Well,
I agree with you. You said no, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't think it is fair.
And I misspoke on that. I apologize.
No, you spoke right. I
yeah.
agree with you.
He called me on that, Mr. Wilson. But, yeah, I mean, so it's never going to be 50,000 or less than 50,000. But that goes back into the, you know, the value of the work. I'm not sure that there's really a project that's going to, or a phase that's going to be less than 50,000 to start with. And just the administration costs of dealing with it. Now, particularly when you're talking about 125% of the work that's involved.
See, yeah, that administration cost in there. Now, that's a problem if you're going to, if administration's going to take $30,000 out of a $20,000.
No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that, you know, there has to be some minimum threshold of the bond amount to make it worthwhile for all projects in Sussex County, and that's been the amount that, the working group's
okay,
determined.
Okay, that would be one of the things I won't agree with on that.
Okay. But the other threshold is that there has to be at least one layer of hot mix on all included roads. The reason for that is we don't want there to be a project where there's been a reduction in the roads or just crusher run or dirt. You know, there has to be at least one layer in there, because that's frankly the issue that we deal with the most, is calling in bonds to complete the roads.
A question?
Sure.
Yeah, I do remember that we had some projects that were the roads were never finished, and the developer had some financial problems and disappeared. So what you're saying is that won't happen again under this plan. That everything will have one layer of hot mix, and people could drive in on that, is what you're saying.
Yes, that's
okay.
True.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's great. Thank you.
You know, and obviously, if the roads aren't completed, then if it's a no-bond project, they wouldn't be able to sell lots, and if it was bonded, ultimately the bond would be called to complete.
Right, we
work.
Had to do that. But that's that's just more cost that we have to pay. Yeah.
Well, that's what the purpose of the bond is, though, is to make sure that
right,
somebody
else is paying for it. Right,
for
the administration of it.
Do I understand you correctly? Are we giving the Soil Conservation the rights to put in roads and all this thing, take the responsibility of that?
No. That's a separate issue that Mr. Rutt's going to talk about in just a moment.
Okay. I want to
We're just separating the Sussex Conservation District bonding and the projects that they administer from what the county administers. So.
Try to stay.
Thank you.
Try to stay on track here a minute.
So with that, what I'd like to do is just turn it over briefly to Mr. Izzo, because he's going to talk about the pricing schedule that's been established by County Engineering that would be applied to that takeoff that I talked about.
Thank you, Vince. And really, to kind of follow up on Mr. Wilson's comments, I think there's a subtle difference in the way that the program's been administered in the way that it needs to be done. In the past, if a developer had Smith Contracting and the original contract was $500,000 and he completed 50% of the work, we would reduce the bond down to $250,000, which seemingly makes sense. But in reality, the way it needs to be set up is it's for how much would it cost the county to complete the work? Because if the developer leaves or goes bankrupt or something happens, it's the county's responsibility to come in. And just to do that process, for example, I got to work with Mr. Rutt on the project, and frankly, I would like to charge his time to the remaining amount of money in the bond. In reality, the way the projects have been set up, I don't have enough money to do that. The other things that happen is every project I need to do an as-built survey, because again, there's generally a period of time from the developer leaving the project before the county gets involved. So we don't know exactly, has the project been built to the grade? Is it in the correct location? So again, these are additional costs that are being incurred by the county that would normally not be incurred by the developer to complete the work. The other thing is, a couple of occasions we've had to commission an engineer to come in because projects have drainage problems. I think Mrs. Deaver is familiar with Oak Crest Farms. We actually had to hire an engineering firm to redesign the stormwater management system. Again, that's additional cost that the county or the homeowners would have to incur, and we're just trying to provide enough money to complete that kind of work. The other situation that occurs is, again, that period of time before a developer leaves and the county gets involved. Sometimes it's 2 or 3 years. So even though the work has been completed, that work may be degraded. Mm-hmm. Quite often we have to go back in and replace pavement, or we have to go back in and fix a curb or fix potholes. Again, that's more money than what would be normally incurred if we're just looking at the completion of the original contract value. And the final situation is inflation. When a developer may give us that original cost estimate in 2008, maybe hot mix is $65 a ton. Now here I am coming for county council in 2013. I want to call in the letter of credit or the bond. Hot mix is now $85 a ton. So it needs to be set up based upon how much money is it going to cost the county to complete the work. And that's what this is providing us.
How does that happen? I don't know how that happens. So the bond amount would have something to do with cost of living index, is what you're saying? How would that work?
Well, what we're trying to do is, and the original bond is still going to be set up on what the developer's contractor's amount is. Mm-hmm. That's day one, mm-hmm. his estimate in 2008. Mm-hmm. However, if he comes to us in 2013 and says, I've completed 50% of the work, right. I want a reduction in the bond amount. Well, now we're looking at the reduction considering, okay, how much money would it be for the county to complete the work?
So you're allowed
to figure
in case
things go badly.
You're allowed to figure in inflated costs.
That's
now.
Correct.
Okay.
And it's not so much inflated costs, it's looking
inflation.
At a uniform unit prices that we could bid things out in 2013. And that's what we've set up, a cost schedule for me to bid out construction.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say inflated. It doesn't sound
good,
does
it? Yeah, it's not inflated. It's
about,
what the current value
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I'm thinking about inflation and also, but then you have deterioration to consider, too.
Yeah. And, in the last 5 years, we probably called in six different letters of credit, and every project is in a different state. I can't say that there's a cookie-cutter cost estimate that's going to work for each project because each project has its own problems.
But if, as you stated, though, if we don't come up with something to address it fairly, we absorb these.
Well, I don't
the
have
county
enough.
Absorbs the cost.
I'm going to tell you, Oak Crest Farms is one where we called in the letter of credit had been reduced. It was approximately $425,000. We don't have enough money to correct all the problems.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is we're determining which problems are the most important to correct. And that's what we're going to do.
So if you run out of money, in other words, of that $400,000, but there's $500,000 worth of need there.
That's right.
So that extra the county doesn't go any further than the $400,000.
That's correct.
Then either the residents or somebody else. Okay, now it was sounding like you were saying that the county incurs the cost, which, when these developments, something happens and we get to that point. Anyway. That it would then be subsidized by the county's tax base or somehow.
If I said that, I spoke incorrectly.
Okay, so right now the county's tax base is not subsidizing some of these bonds that aren't large enough to cover the projects. And
the only case is when I work with a situation like Mr. Rutt where we incur some legal cost. I have nowhere
other than
to
that.
Charge
okay,
it
okay,
to,
I,
but
okay.
Generally the county is not incurring any additional cost.
Okay. We use the bond money. If there's not enough, there's not enough.
That's
and we're going to try to make it so that there is going to be enough.
That is the hope.
That's
yes.
the hope. Okay. All right.
And I guess to clarify that, maybe there's a misunderstanding. When I was talking about the administration, I was talking about dealing with all the different reduction requests that are coming in
mm-hmm.
when there's no uniformity in that, and they have to go out and inspect
right.
each project and determine the status of that project. That's the sort of the lack of uniformity in the increase.
Everybody gets treated the same.
Yeah.
You still have to go out and
yeah.
inspect anyway.
Well, we also rely on the professional engineers from the developer that's
right.
going to give us
right.
basically an as-built of
line.
That state.
You have to,
yeah.
you have a line.
But while you're going out inspecting, you're not changing the design of the engineering, right? It's all going to be as original.
And
you talked about a while ago, maybe the roads were still, something going bad was not as good. I assume they were being inspected while they were being done, since the county has inspectors on the job at all times.
We do inspector, but I can tell you, in one case, the woods at Walls Creek, where we called in the bond at the end of the project, the developer hadn't performed the as-built survey. So we commissioned a surveyor to go do the as-built, and it turns out the stormwater management pond's not in the right location. A pipeline that was supposed to be between in an easement between two homes is actually on the property of one home. Now, if the developer had still been around, we would have got that as-built survey, and it would have been his responsibility to correct that. But because we didn't find that until after we did the as-built survey, again, I got to use the money from the security to make those corrections.
And one last bit on the pricing that county engineering has established. That is they've determined that's going to be published on the county's website,
right.
So all the engineers and everybody who deal with projects would have access to that.
And we'll update it each year. And again, that's only going to be considered for reductions. Day one, if a developer comes in and he's got a contract with Smith's Contracting, and the contractor's going to do it for $500,000, that's what the original letter of credit will be set up.
Mm-hmm.
It's only in those cases when reductions are being sought that
we'll
use
the How much goes on the website? About that, how much do you say it'll be? I've never seen us do that before, so I'm not.
It's actually that's an attachment to Mr. Lawson's memo. There's a sample cost estimate, and that's, I mean, it's pretty detailed.
It's actually going on the website is what I'm trying to.
It's on your computer.
Get in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And we will set it up if we post a price that the contractors or developers feel is erroneous. We'll relook at it again and make a correction.
No. And it's not a per project thing that's going on the website.
Okay.
It's the county's pricing. Costs.
Fine.
So it's not based on any one project. It's
right.
How much a sidewalk with 4 inches of concrete, the quantity in the units, and the price per unit.
So.
And real quick, maybe just the no bond process. You're comfortable with it, Mike?
No.
We're getting better. Again, just trying to get into that mode of keeping track of which projects are no bond and which ones are not. For example, I'll give you a Senator's. Phase 1A is bonded, phase 1B is bonded, phase 1C is no bond, phase 1D is no bond. So I think I'm good with it, but I got to make sure that all of the people that work at the permits counter understand the different subtleties, and all the people that issue connection permits, and just making sure that we're able to say the developer walks in and wants to now bond phase 1C of Senators. Then we got to make sure that information gets out. And it's just setting up that computer system and keeping it updated. That's been a little bit of a challenge for us. But we had a nice meeting yesterday, and I think we're moving forward with it.
So no major mistakes at this point with
we have
the new bond process?
What's happened is we've had a few, I'm trying to think how many, I'm going to say between 10 and 15 permits issued in no bond projects. One infamous project in Waters Run, which is down on Old Mill Bridge Road, where I guess it was in this case, the permit was completely out of any phase, but just trying to close out those loopholes and keeping up with the different computer systems. And somebody may be familiar with a project, but that person goes on vacation and somebody comes in to pick up that project. It's just all the communication and trying to keep up with all the subtleties.
And are we still bonding certain phases and then not other phases again? Are we still doing that?
That is the way we are reacting. An ordinance was passed, and that ordinance is in effect until January. Developer has an option of either bonding the project and being able to transfer lots and get
all
building permits.
All of it.
Or, right. Uh-huh. Or you may go through a no bond process where the developer completes all the improvements, and then at the end of that project, he may begin transferring lots and acquiring building permits. But again, it becomes complicated because some phases are bonded and some are not, and just trying to keep up with it all is not always easy.
Well, are we covered if the grading was wrong, the drainage is wrong?
That will come at the end of the project. The developer is required to do an as-built survey, and our people review those as-builts to make sure everything was constructed. You know, even if you're out there in the field, and watching over as the work's being done, it's hard to tell whether the grade is right until you actually get that as-built survey.
That's right. That's what I'm thinking about, the things that come that we see later.
I don't know. I'm off base, but can they do a you can't do a whole project with a no bond process.
Yes, you can.
You can.
But you couldn't sell any individual lots. If say they had one buyer that wanted to come in and buy a lot or a house or a unit, they couldn't sell that until they posted a bond for 125%.
Can the developer sell a chunk of lots to another developer?
The way we look at
no
that is that if they're selling a chunk of lots or a phase, then that triggers new agreements, new bonds, and everything at that stage.
Well, a new bond, but then they could also apply for the no bond.
Yeah, right. But it resets the table at that point if they're buying another phase.
We just passed that a year ago here for his council, about a year ago.
Mm-hmm, in 2012.
So that's probably new for those who remember.
No, I'm still concerned about it.
Well, it didn't majority pass the council, so the majority of us agree with it. Question. You talk about no bonds. Will that also apply to Sussex County Soil Conservation?
I don't know, Vince. Is the ordinance set up that it affects the conservation district? I'm not
sure. Separate. That's a state agency.
Yeah. Well, Kurt and Dave chime in on this one. At this point, you know, since the county administers it, it would all kind of fold under the way the county administers its bonds. But that's the idea that today we're going to talk about, that the conservation district is going to administer its own inspections, its own bonding, and then it would be up to them to decide how they want to do any bond reductions or no bonds or whatever.
It seems like the county council is, you have to come to us to get all kinds of zonings. I don't understand why the councils at this point would not still have that authority, have to be in order to bond it, as far as property and whatever you do with that piece of property. It's our authority, and we're elected, we represent the elected people here, people that put us in office. If we don't watch ourselves, we get ourselves into a government that has no election. And so we got to be very careful, and that's where I'm coming from.
Well, perhaps that segues in nicely to Mr. Rutt's discussion on...
Before we get, can I recap, make sure I understand?
Certainly.
A developer can do all the work, all the preliminary work, up all the way up to, can build the units, build the homes, and still not have a bond yet?
No, he cannot acquire a building permit. He supposedly can't transfer a lot.
Right, I know.
Where can you get a building permit?
So you can't build those homes
That's
without
right.
that bond.
Until a bond is in place.
Because you said don't sell, not selling. I was picturing a house.
And I think even, you know, it's just the people who are not working with the project every day struggle to keep track of which phase is bonded.
Right.
Because lots should not even be sold, so we shouldn't have building permits being requested.
Right.
But I think even the realtors aren't always sure which phases are bonded and which are not. And I don't know why they would be. I guess Vince has set up a process with recording.
Yeah, one of the parts of the ordinance was that if you were going to elect to go the no bond route, that in addition to everything that happens sort of internally within the county, there's a notice that's recorded downstairs in the recorder deeds against that property that puts everybody legally on notice that it's not bonded, and so you won't be able to sell or transfer lots, get building permits, that type of thing, until the work's completed and or the bond's posted and that notice is satisfied or released.
But you could get the permit and build.
Well, as Mike said, that's going to go through the computer systems.
Yeah, we're
and we're it depends, too, whether, the other thing is whether it's a developer that's doing all the infrastructure and building the lots. In that situation, they wouldn't be able to sell completed homes to third parties. If it's a developer that's selling individual lots, they wouldn't be able to sell lots, or third parties wouldn't be able to get building permits at that
right.
stage.
Right, okay.
So. Well, then let me address the soil conservation issue. Under chapters 90 and 99 of the code, there's a reference to bonds held by county or Sussex County for stormwater drainage and management facilities that are actually under the control of the conservation district. Those are the sediment control and stormwater outside of the roadways, the stormwater ponds and those types of things. However, the county has no control over the review of the plans or the inspections or the approvals. That's all under the jurisdiction of the soil conservation. And sorry about that. So, you know, soil conservation maintained the inspection of the work. They would advise Public Works, which actually held the bonds, if they needed to be called. And it placed the county in the middle in that the county assumed the obligation of administering the bonds but having no control whatsoever on the work itself. And this really came to a head in the litigation that we had in the, concerning the reserves, spa and resort. And in that case, the bonds were called by approval of council. And when we got to court, we claimed that we had no jurisdiction, we had no control over those bonds, and that soil conservation should actually be, you know, part of that litigation, and the court just rejected that and said, you know, they're your agent, you're the one who called the bonds, you have the ultimate responsibility. So it sets the county up into a real situation of having some potential exposure without any control. So this issue was discussed internally and then in meetings with Soil Conservation. And as a result, Soil Conservation has agreed that effective January 1st of 2014, it will hold and administer its own bonds and all cost of administration, including any litigation fees, if that arose, would become their responsibility. So there are some proposals to amend the existing code, and they're simple amendments in that it will just remove the phrases regarding surface drainage facilities, erosion, and sedimentation control. And that will then shift to Soil Conservation. And I mean, historically, the county and Soil Conservation have had a great working relationship. And Mr. Baird is here. He can address that. But that's the intent. You know, they control the bond. They control the work to be done. And it's really conceptually no different than, you know, DelDOT has bonding for mm-hmm. entrances, mm-hmm. that type of thing. So it's that part right. where they will have control.
Just another state agency.
Mr. Baer, can you come forward and give a brief update on what the conservation district has done and the pending status of your proposal?
Good morning, everyone. As Mr. Lawson had stated, the district has been in discussions with the county for over a year now on this process. And as it's evolved over the past few months, we have agreed through our board to take on this responsibility. It's been discussed with them twice, maybe even three times in their formal setting. But to give everybody an overview of what we are proposing to do is exactly what's been stated today. The sediment and stormwater portions of the bonds that are currently collected by the county would no longer be a part of the county's bonding requirements. That portion would be assumed by the district. Now, obviously, that is going to create another series of bonds for the developer that they're going to have to address. So it doesn't really streamline the current process any. It actually breaks it apart, which I think we all had a little bit of a tough time getting over. But if that's the direction that this body wants to go, then we're certainly willing to work hand in hand with you on that. As far as the applicability of these bonds are going to be collected by the district, the bonds will be applicable to any project that requires a detailed sediment and stormwater plan. So basically any development that's coming through Sussex County Planning and Zoning or does come to County Council is going to need to be bonded under the district's bonding program. However, there will be a few exemptions, and I'll just highlight some of those for you. First, ag structures will be exempt from district bonding requirements. Second, commercial projects that will not be subdivided, where the property owner is going to be the developer, the business proprietor, owner of the stormwater facility, and owner of the property upon the development of the property. And our thoughts behind this were, you know, and I'll just use a contractor, for example, or an electrician, a plumber. You know, they have their own shop. They want to expand. It's a piece of commercial property. It's large enough that it's going to meet the fact that they need a detailed plan. But if they're going to be the ones who ultimately own it at the end of the day, they're not subdividing additional lots off, you know, there's no need to bond that because they, in a sense, are bonding themselves. You know, so we didn't feel that that was appropriate. The third exemption is projects with a total site area less than 1 acre. Where it's determined that the imposition of the bonding requirements really provide no benefit to the general public. And then finally, projects where the total construction value of improvements to be bonded would be less than $10,000. So those small projects that are really more individual based or, you know, it's really the good faith of that individual who's going to be moving forward. We didn't feel it was worth the exercise to go through the bonding process. There'd be more cost involved than the value that would come out of that for the general public. As far as the amount of the bonds that would be collected by the district, the securities will be set at 150% of the improvements. The reason why that's a little bit greater than what you're requiring currently with the county is because usually the value of those sediment and stormwater improvements are significantly less than the harder infrastructure. So it's less of a dollar value, and we wanted to make sure that there was adequate coverage there. Should it come to fruition that we would have to collect on one of those bonds. Same type of thing as far as the reduction of the bonds. We will allow for a one-time reduction up to 50% of the original amount of the bond. So there will be some consistency with what the county and the district are doing there. For the most part, we'll accept the same types of securities. There will be letters of credit, performance bonds, surety bonds, et cetera. We will enter into a formal specific agreement with the developer, and certainly that information will all be made available to the county agencies as it deems necessary.
Mr. Byrd?
Yes.
Is the Soil Conservation going to play a part of estimating what it's going to cost?
We will, but that will be based off of contractors' estimates, similar to the way that it's done here with the county.
I was trying to figure out why you would go to 150% over 125, which the county has.
And like I said, because...
I'm not sure I'd buy that reasoning you just gave.
Smaller amounts.
Right. It is a smaller amount, and that was the rationale used for going to
150%. Unfortunately, a lot of folks might think developers get rich, and some do. But some works off not a shoestring. And you go adding almost 150% more than what the cost is. And somebody's making poor judgments here. I can't know if we can justify going up another 25% on this cost over above if we turn this over to you, and which we probably will.
Right.
But I have problems going to up another 25% over above where we are.
Certainly. And I understand your rationale.
Help me understand. You said this would call for additional bonds for developers.
Correct.
I thought we were just switching from holding them in the county to you holding them. But more bonds will have to be bought?
Correct. A separate issue will need to be made because right now the sediment and stormwater programs are included as a part of the bonds that are issued for the county's benefit
protection.
So now you're separating that component out.
We're not really transferring bonds. We're writing new bonds.
That is correct.
And canceling old bonds.
Correct.
Okay.
Another item that was mentioned during your previous discussion was the no bond requirement that the county currently allows. That is something that would not be an option on the bonds issued by the district. The reason for, and it doesn't really get into the merits of whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, but the fact is that it would require a lot more coordination between the district and the county offices as far as building permits are concerned, sewer tie-ins, whatever the case may be, or any other permits that are needed to be issued by the county. Right now, the district has no ability to impact building permits issued by whether it be the county or any of the towns throughout the county. That's certainly their responsibility, their authority to do so. So without us having a direct role into that, we deemed it really very difficult and would be more cumbersome to have the no bond requirement. And I believe Mr. Rudd also alluded to the fact that the only thing that the district will be bonding are the sediment and stormwater improvements that are located outside of any public right-of-ways. Any public right-of-way.
Oh,
okay. So, things along the roadside, whatnot, those all
Del
fall
dot.
Under
yeah,
either DLDOT mm-hmm. or... public works here as part of the review. For instance, the pipe leading from that road to the stormwater management pond and discharge, that would all fall under the district's bonding requirements.
And if I understand correctly, a place like I went through Hart's Landing, and some of the swales were filling up with water, and they weren't really working. But that's the responsibility of the owner now, of the resident. Is that right? I mean, management company. I mean, that's not ours anymore.
Correct. Roadside swales are not part
of roadside,
what?
But in the community around those. Well, yes, around their roads.
Right.
Yes, they are. In front of their homes, though.
Correct. The district will provide some technical assistance to folks like that, but ultimately.
Technical assistance, yes. But no financial. There's no bonding, there's no money from the bond to pay for that.
No.
Okay.
Did your board take a formal action?
They have not taken formal action at this point. The last two discussions that we've had on this, and the last one was at their meeting in September. The board did agree that they were comfortable with the proposal as it's been laid out and wanted to see the direction that county council wanted to proceed with. Obviously, we have the basic concerns that obviously this is a additional administrative cost that's going to be incurred by the district, but that's something that we feel will need to be addressed at some point in time, and we'll factor that into the cost associated with the issuance of the bonds as well.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Baird?
I think you're all doing a great job.
Thank you, David.
Would it be appropriate for council to wait until the district takes formal action?
Well, the way we had interpreted was we were going to introduce our ordinances, unless we hear a different direction today, introduce and discuss the ordinance at a future council date as early as next Tuesday. And at that point, it's horse and cart deal for us. If we engage and remove the district from our ordinance, giving them their bonding responsibilities, our ordinance will take effect January 1, 2014. That will signal to the district that we've uncoupled that, and then they would need to move forward. I think there's a gentleman's agreement that if that were to take place, they would be in a position to go ahead and approve the new policy.
This will require a public hearing.
There's a timing issue on that, and to answer your question, Mr. Phillips, one of the things we need to consider, if it's an ordinance change to Chapter 99, that has to go through public hearings at Planning and Zoning and then County Council. So we needed to get that process started to meet that January deadline.
And to answer your question, yes, to do this formally, to disconnect from the bonds of the district, there will be two layers of public hearings, one with P&Z and then one with us. We're introducing that issue today to get some direction. Hopefully you'll be okay with us proceeding to that next step. And once the ordinance and public hearing come up, we'll have a future discussion. But to meet the January 1 deadline, we need to get that out of the gate today.
So just briefly to summarize, we have the no bond requirements, and that sunsets currently under the current ordinance on January 10, 2014. As Mr. Lawson talked about, what we'd like to do is have an ordinance ready for introduction to extend that, but not indefinitely. I think we're talking about 1 or 2 years on that extension. And then either in the same ordinance or in a separate ordinance would be the decoupling of the conservation district, like Mr. Rudd and Mr. Baird just talked about, from the county, which would be introduced at the same time so that we could go through those public hearing processes on both of those. The other one, which is the protocol, that does not require an ordinance amendment. So what I'd like to do, and I think we can act on that this morning, is just read a brief motion for your consideration on that, and then there can be discussion on it. The motion would be it moved that Sussex County Council adopts the Sussex County bonding protocols prepared by the Sussex County Engineering Department concerning bond reductions and the conversions of no bond projects to bonded ones based upon the recommendation of county administration and for the reasons presented this morning.
And you'd have to like those no bond provisions to vote yes for that, wouldn't you?
Well, the no...
I mean, you know, that's...
No, not necessarily, because
you're mentioning it in there.
Yeah, well, it would apply to... it would apply first to bonding in general for reductions of bonds. And it would apply to the existing no-bond projects that are in place under the current ordinance.
That exist.
Yeah, no, I think...
Nothing to do with renewing.
No, that would be another ordinance that's introduced sometime here so that it wouldn't sunset in January of 2014.
Entertain a motion from council.
Make a motion we adopt the motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second,
Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, and I appreciate all the work behind that. Thank you very much.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
By no means should this be interpreted as being in favor of some of the future ones, but on this one, I'll vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And Mr. Lawson, you will proceed forward with getting the proposed ordinances drawn up, and
we'll put it on a future agenda.
Sure. That'll be fine.
Thank you all. And thank you, staff. That represents probably over a year and a half's worth of work.
Administrator's report.
Okay. Quickly, administrator's report for October 8th, item number one. Attached, please find the cost statistics for the fire and ambulance call board for September 2013. There were 14,425 total calls handled in September. Of those, 911 calls, 77% were from wireless phones. Item number two, per the attached engineering department fact sheet, Sandbar Village revision number one received substantial completion effective October 3rd, 2013. Item number three, a reminder, the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County will be hosting the LIVE Conference, Live Healthy, Live Active, Live at Home, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, October 9th, at the CHEER Center, located at 20520 Sand Hill Road in Georgetown, Delaware. A copy of the conference agenda is attached. And finally, item number four, it is with sadness that we inform you that Brian H. Farley, county pensioner, passed away on October 4, 2013. Mr. Farley worked for Sussex County from September 1988 until his retirement in September 1996. He retired from Public Works Division, where he worked as a utility construction technician one. We'd like to express our condolences to the family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Sure. Mr. Izzo, North Millville expansion, the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District.